Welcome to Village Heights. We're so glad that you're here on this cold, cold Sunday morning. When I woke up, I could hear the blower going on the air conditioner. I was like, man, is it hot? No, it was cold. It was the heat that was blowing, but it just wasn't hot enough. I had to crank it up a little bit. Luckily, I have an app on my phone that controls my thermostat, so I don't have to get out of bed. I know, it's... I have such real problems, right? Well, the past couple of weeks, we've been going through a series called I Dare You, and it's been great stuff, and we chose this series to start the year off because we find ourselves in places as we go through the year that we're just stuck to things, and we find ourselves in these routines that are hurting us or not helping us, and so we tackled four things that we felt we dared you to change these things, dared you to take them on, that 2016 would look totally different for you. It would be a whole new turnover in your life, and that you can take it on to the next year and to the next year. So the first thing we talked about was taste and see. We challenged y'all, dared y'all to taste and see that God is good, to let him more into your life. Give more opportunity. Talk to him more. Wake up in the mornings and pray to him and ask him for direction in your day and to see how he's good. See how he interacts with you. The next thing we talked about was power. And I challenged you guys that power is not a bad thing. We always see it as a bad thing. Maybe too much of it's a bad thing. It's never, power is not bad. It's what we do with it that's bad. And I challenged you guys, I dared you guys to take your opportunities and power and use them for good. Use them for other people's good and not just, you know, squander them, because if you squander them, you're going to get limited amount of power in the future. And then last week, Hannah talked about one of the hardest things it comes in our lives is money. Money is a difficult thing, and she challenged us to see past what it just its monetary value to us and what it truly means to us and how it's just a thing, you know, and God provides all of it. And you're saying, well, God's not writing me checks or anything like that, but he gave you the abilities, he gave you the talents, he sets you up with the right people, he gave you the mind to think so that you can earn that money, you can earn that wealth, and to not be selfish with it, and to not, you know, to acknowledge. Because if we acknowledge where it truly comes from and why we have it, you'll begin to see it grow, as long as you keep that, and you keep it to give back, and not just to the church, but to others. In your life, it'll carry on from there. So today is our last installment of the I Dare You series, and I saved this one for the last because I feel money's difficult. All those things are difficult, but this is another big one. This is a very affecting one in our life. I was going to talk to you about relationships. I have a relationship in my life that it's developed over time, and it's been very beneficial for me. It's been great to me. And there's been good times, and there's been bad times, of course, but the good has outweighed the bad, and it's been a very unique one, and I'm very thankful for it. It feels like it's been happening for a long time, but it feels like it's only been a small window in my life that I've had this relationship, and it's been a very cool one. You could probably figure out who I'm talking about. I'm talking about my beard. I've had a relationship with this beard that's been developing over time. I don't know what you thought I was going to say, but but over time it's been happening, and it's. I think I've had this beard for about, been growing it this long for probably about 6 or 7 months. And we've had some fights, you know. Beards aren't easy. And like, if you're a guy that has a beard or has had a beard in some time in your life, it's a commitment. You know, it takes time. You got to like, you know, when I first started it, I didn't realize it. And then as it gets longer, it starts to get out of control. Then you have to maintain it. You know, you got to put oil on it. And I have to like realize that this is growing off my body and my body needs certain things. And so I got to get oil. I got to moisturize it, you know, and all this stuff. And then Hannah says that another relationship actually developed out of this relationship, and she's actually a little jealous of this one. It's my beard comb. She says that I have a relationship with my beard comb, and she doesn't always like it when I whip it out, you know, because it's hard to look this good. You know, so I got to have things to to keep it going. That's why I bought this fancy little beard comb. It's made from some special wood. I don't know. It's nice, and it came from China. And it has one side that's bigger bristles, another smaller, you know, so I brush it out. I do this, and like I'll pull it out, and sometimes it's good because I'll use it as like the conversation's getting low or somebody's arguing or something not getting along. I'll just pull it out and just start, because it always breaks. Like something always happens. Somebody goes, "What are you doing? Why are you doing that right now?" It's like, oh, it just needs taming, you know. It's a wild beast. It needs some tender love and care every once in a while, or it's going to get out of control. It's for y'all's benefit to keep this looking good. So this relationship has developed over time, and it's funny, you know, I laugh, and it's one of the things Hannah told me. That's why I chose dog this morning. She tells me I have a relationship with my beard. Like, it's I complain about it, but then I boast about it, and you know, and it affects me. It has. Over the past months, it's affected me. So we have these relationships in our lives that affect us, and we boast about them, and we cry about them, and they argue about them. They're so vast and different. We all have multiple relationships, whether it's with our parents, whether it's our siblings, whether it's with girlfriend, boyfriend, or just a friend, or you get married, and that's like a whole nother level, because the two become one, and that's an awesome thing, and it can be very difficult, but it's very rewarding. And then you have kids, and there's a relationship there that, man, it is stretching. It is a stretching relationship, because you learn new levels of patience and love and things like that. And I remember when Gage was first born, before Gage, I felt like I had a relationship growing with him. You know, I'd talk to Hannah's tummy and stuff like that. And it more like I just like would put my mouth to her stomach and I would yell. And I would, you know, to see if something would happen, you know, if like he can hear me. Because they say he can hear you, you know, and I'm like, it's your dad! Ah! You know, probably thinks he came out, you know, almost deaf because of my yelling. But we had a great start, a very hectic start to relationship. And it was scary, but it was cool because it made me realize how important my child was to me. Hannah, we had to have an emergency C-section and stuff like that, and it was scary. And there was about 3 in the morning, like she had to go in, and because of the emergency and the epidural wasn't totally working for her, like half of the body she could feel and half she couldn't. And so they had to put her under completely, and I couldn't be in there for that. So then I'm just having to wait in the hallway, and it's a very surreal moment. It's like it's moving. Time has slowed down, but it's going fast. It's very weird. I think it was like 2 or 3 in the morning, like all of a sudden, like I'm in the hallway and it's dead quiet. These bells and whistles and people were yelling codes over the intercom. And it was like 911 all of a sudden, just emergency. Nurses are running down the hallway and running into where Hannah was being operated on. And I remember thinking, I don't know what's happening right now. My wife could be not there. My son could not be there. They could both not be there. You never know in those situations. And so it's in that moment I had like this, you know, flash before my eyes of a relationship that I had. And I realized how important it was. And I haven't even met this child yet. And I realized how important how they were to me and how I want to develop with them. And I remember when the nurse came out, they came and they gave me an update, and they're telling me, like, nothing's changed, but they're both okay. And I'm like, okay, great, you know, and so they go back in. And then two nurses come back out, and one of them's holding a child, and then the nurse goes, oh, this is blah, blah, blah. Says some name I don't even know. I think it was a girl's name. And I look at the baby, and I'm like, I don't care about that baby. I want my baby, you know. And the lady walks up to me, and she looks at me kind of confused because I'm like, okay, you know, whatever. And she goes, no, this is your son. He's telling me the nurse's name. And I didn't, you know, not my son's name. And so I was like, oh. And so I put the identity, my son, it had a face now. And the relationship began right there because I was mad at him, but I was very glad to see him because of the torment that he put us through. He had wrapped the cord around his neck and he came out not responding and stuff like that. And so it was a big ordeal. I had to spend a little bit of time in the NICU and stuff like that. But relationships are important. Now, that's dramatic, I know, and that was like a big bang in the start. But a lot of our relationships start slow. We all, you know, we have these relationships in our life that it just develops over time. And these people, because you get connected, they grow significant to you. And but they're very vast. And as you grow older, they more and more develop. If you're a social person, you have more. You know, if you're not very social, you still have relationships. They just develop slower in a smaller scale. But regardless of who you are, you have relationships in your life. And you have a lot of them. Sometimes you can't keep count. You grow up and you see somebody working at somewhere and you like realize, oh yeah, I knew them. I had a relationship with them. Then it starts coming back to you. So they all matter to us. But the thing is, it can get tricky. It can get difficult to keep track of all these relationships. It can get difficult to monitor and go in and out of them. Like all our TV shows that we watch are all based on relationships. They're all based on the interactions of people. Scripture, like throughout Scripture, a lot of it is interaction with God, but then a lot of it is also interaction with other people and how we get selfish and prideful and we're giving and we love, and it's just like these constant interactions. How do we keep track of all of this? How do we manage our relationships in a way that can better people and not just be this daunting task that is continuously haunting us? Because there's relationships that haunt us. Like we're scared of them. We're scared to see this person, or we're scared to interact because of something that's going on. It feels like, this is an analogy you probably heard before, you're on a forest floor, right? And you're looking around and you can't see the edges of the forest, but there's just trees everywhere. And you want to get to a certain point in the forest. You want to get to where you want to be, but you can't see it. You're on the forest floor. You need a bird's eye view to know what direction to go, to see the whole forest. We have a forest of relationships in our lives. And as we grow and get older, this forest grows bigger and grows bigger and grows bigger. And those trees grow bigger and bigger and thicker as our relationships develop with them. And some get gnarly and some get, it's hard to get through. But if you don't manage that forest, if you don't trim it back, if you don't, you know, keep an eye on it and give it the love it needs, it's going to get out of control. And you're going to lose control. And you're not going to know what to be. And that is when you get scared and the relationships become damaging to you. So you need that bird's eye view. You need to be able to see the forest. You need a compass to know where to go. You need to be able to see a map of it and be able to navigate. So where is that compass? Where is that map? What does it look like? Where does it all come from? To start to know where you're at, you first have to know what it came from. Where did it exist first? Who created what we're in? You know, it starts with a seed. It started with one, and it grows and grows and grows. But who planted that seed? Where did it start? And that's where you want to find. That's how you begin to know how to navigate the forest of relationships for your life. And as we grow and we don't realize the effect that our relationships have on other people, because you might have this person over here and you have this person over here and they don't communicate, but you're the bridge. Because of your relationship with this person affects you, it affects this relationship. You see this a lot in dating and things like that. You see guys, they always complain about this. You get a girlfriend, and it's like, oh, I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to spend more time over here. You know, you're not as pretty as her. So that's just the way it works, you know, kind of the thing. And the guys get bitter about it, and they have sayings that I'm not going to say. They're inappropriate, you know, stuff like that. And you got your bros. And so it affects each other. You know, and your relationship with your parents affects your relationship with your teachers, and vice versa. And how that works. Your friends affect your relationship with your siblings. And that's just the way it goes. And it's beautiful. It's not a bad thing. It's a beautiful thing because it makes you develop. It makes you diverse in your personality. There's a lot of you that probably can credit a lot of your personality and your characteristics, who you are, to the relationships that you've had in your life. It makes you a better person if you can navigate those relationships. So where does it all start? Where did it begin? Who created it? If you look on we have the scriptures listed out that we're going through today, and the first one is Colossians 1, 15 through 17. And this is where it all started, Colossians 1, 15 through 17. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And it is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So where does it begin in your life? For all of us, our relationships. And they're talking about Jesus right there. See, in this passage, they're talking about the preeminence of Jesus. There it is, preeminence of Jesus. And what that means is basically, he's all-encompassing. He's all-controlling. Jesus came on the spot 2,000 years ago, but Jesus existed prior. Because he's God. He's fully God, fully man. And so all things were created through him and for him. So where does everything begin? Through Jesus. Our relationships in our life, with the fact that we are created, begins with him. So when we pull back out of our relationship, we take our drone up in the air and we look down at our relationships in our life, it is all-encompassing and all created by Jesus. Now, some of the relationship might be bad. That's not Jesus' fault. That's our fault. Because he planted the seeds. He created us. He made us able to talk and speak and gave us the brains to think. And how it looks on the ground floor is on us, but he created it. And so if we want to be able to have control over this forest and understand it better, first our relationship with Jesus matters. He was that first seed in our life. He was that first connection. When we were born, we are instantly connected with God prior to, I mean, what you believe and how you see science, whatever like that. But the fact that you're created, you are with Jesus. You do have a connection to him regardless of who you are, whether you believe in him or not. That might be offensive to some people, but it's true because all creation was made for him and through him. So that's where you begin. So first, I'd say, where is your relationship with Jesus? Where is it with the creator? If you want to better manage the things in your life, the relationships in your life, you got to be with the creator, the one, the originator of relationships. So where are you at in your life with that? Is he the one you acknowledge? Is he, when you wake up in the morning, do you think about him? During the day, do you think about him? When you hit those hard, it seems to be when you hit the hard times, that's the only times we think about Jesus. When it gets difficult and it's not easy, we want Jesus. He is our Savior and he will come in and save us. But he's so much more than that. He's our Savior of everything in our lives. He's given us freedom. So we have an opportunity to first have a relationship with him. And once you see that, once you have the relationship with him and you see the bigger picture, you begin to understand what's on the ground floor. Because once you do that, you begin to realize, my relationship with Jesus, how does he treat me, first off? How does he treat me? And he's the creator of relationships, so that's how I should treat others, because that's the origination. It's just like with anything that you download a song, it's fresh and new, and you copy it over and over and over again, it begins to become degraded. People probably don't know that now today with digital and everything like that, but when you had CDs and tapes and things like that, when you copied it over and over and over, the quality became degraded, and that's what's happening in our lives. The quality of what a relationship should be has begun to degrade. And we build weird relationships off the degraded idea of what a relationship is. And just because it's familiar doesn't mean it's okay. Just because it working off of hate and anger and spite and manipulation and all these things, that doesn't mean it's okay just because you can survive in it. But if you really want to thrive in life, if you really want to live, you have to take it from the original. And so we have that right here in 1 Corinthians. It's laid out, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Now, this scripture is used a lot in weddings, it's because it's very powerful and it's very meaningful, and you need to have this if you're going to have a successful marriage. But it's not just for marriages. This is love in general. This is how we love, how we have that relationship, and it's very meaningful. It says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, and hopes all things, endures all things. So where are we at in your life? We could go through each one of those things. We can pinpoint where we've messed up. We've done that. We've envied. We've boasted over somebody, you know, in a bad way. We've, some of them in here, we were irritable with somebody. We were resentful to somebody. It might be this morning that you were that way. Just because you differ from somebody, you don't like the way they do things. When were you arrogant or rude to somebody? We're all guilty of these things, but love doesn't do that. Just because we're capable of it doesn't mean it's a healthy thing to keep doing. We're going to fall short. We're going to mess up. And thankfully, we have a Savior that's always there to pick us up. But if you want to know what true relationship is, powerful relationships that are life-changing, not just for you, but for the people around you, this is how they look. Because this is how Jesus had a relationship with us. Before he became embodied, and while he was embodied, and after. He came to this earth in love. Sure, he got mad at times. Sure, he got, you know, he had moments where people didn't like him and things like that. But he never stopped loving. Everything he did for us was in love. If we will keep that close to us and keep our eye on that, that's when relationships become real and powerful in our lives. And as we act this way and we do these things, you begin to see your force a lot clearer. You begin to know your direction. How am I supposed to walk and act in this forest? And you begin to see, oh, I can take this direction and go around these trees, and I can see the sun through the sky, through the top of the trees and things like that. And it becomes more clear and more evident of how you're supposed to act, and you become to know your forest well. And when you know your relationship forest, you begin to navigate it in a totally new way. You become to jumping, and you're just pouring into this relationship, feeding this relationship, feeding that tree, grooming this one, saying, hey, I noticed this. And when you do things in love, you begin to, when it comes time to prune something, chip it back, it's to help it grow. But if you're just barreling through, just knocking trees over just because you feel like it or you're in a mood that day, it begins to damage those relationships. But if you will act in love, act the way Jesus did and how he has a relationship with you, your forest will begin to flourish. It'll look great. You can navigate it clearly. And it not just serves you, but it serves others. And it begins to grow and grow bigger and bigger and bigger. And when you can navigate your forest, that means you can add to it. You can get to the edges. You can find the edges of your forest or where there's not any vegetation, and you can begin to grow it because you can navigate it well. Jesus is our compass to our relationships. He is the one that can show us how to act and what to do. Now, that's the good stuff, right? I talked about pruning a little bit. So when it comes to relationships, we all have those bad ones. We all have those relationships that we know we shouldn't have. There comes a point where a relationship is more damaging to you than you are helping it. They're more damaging to your life and affecting you in a bad way than you're able to help them. Now, sometimes you got to set boundaries. You got to do these things. And in Scripture, there's one Scripture right here that talks kind of, it references this. And in this Scripture, it's talking about Jesus and like not being foolish about certain things and being understanding. And throughout the Bible, it talks about relationships. It's constantly referencing it in. And when it talks about important things like Jesus, it throws things in there of like, hey, you know better than this. And in 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Do not be deceived. Meaning, don't be dumb. Don't walk into this blindly. Don't continue on in a relationship that they're pouring bad morals into you. Now, everybody has a bad side or anything like that. I know that. But there's some people that are just toxic. And they might just be more toxic to you than others. Whether that is an attraction thing, whether it's a friend, a buddy, that you just feel pressure to continue on in a certain lifestyle, or they're lazy and you want to be lazy, you know, and it kind of feeds that, or they're just going down the wrong path and it's making you steer that way. Bad morals ruins good judgment. I mean, bad morals ruins good company. That's just the way it works. That's how life is, and we have to acknowledge that. So there are times when it's awkward and it's hard and it's difficult to erase a friendship, to give it a little cut. And it makes you feel awkward. It does. It looks awkward because sometimes, like, okay, this person has gone too far in my life. I need to trim it back some. I need to give it a little. It's awkward. It is. And so when you make those first cuts, when you decide, hey, this relationship's got to change, and you have that first conversation with them, and it's like, this hurts. It's awkward. They don't want to hear this. They don't want to know that I can't give them this much time in my life. They want to know that I can't spend these things that I've been doing with them. They can't do it. And it might make you look funny for a little bit when they make those first cuts. But if you keep cutting, if you just keep at it, it starts to loosen up. Nathan is cringing right now because he realizes the relationship that I had with my beard because he's had one. And it's just, it's hard. It is. I'm trying to keep in this area to make it clean up easier. But in our life, we have these relationships that need grooming. And this is one of the toughest things about it. And if we don't do this, this will just be out of control. If we don't tame it, if we don't cut it back, it just gets to a point where that person becomes your identity. My beard is not my identity, all right? It is, I can grow another one, I can maintain it. And honestly, I haven't clean shaved this face in over a decade. I have not been clean shaved. I've always had some kind of hair on my face. And it's because I groom it and I keep it, you know, maintained. And that's the way it is with our lives. In the forest floor, you have scissors, you have a chainsaw. And you're walking through your forest and you see this tree that is just so unhealthy. It's poisoned. It's diseased. And you need to cut it down. Or you need to trim it back. Something needs to happen because if you don't, like I said, it affects other relationships. That relationship will begin to grow and affect your others. If it's infected, if it's that toxic, it's going to happen quick. It'll start killing the relationships around you. And before you know it, your forest is dark, it's dead, and it's depressing. We've all found ourselves in those areas of our life that are just depressing. And it can usually be attributed to the point that we didn't have anybody in our life to pick us up. We didn't have any good relationships where they were pouring back into us to be able to pick us up in those low moments. Do you have somebody like that? Or have you pushed them away? Or do you not know how to navigate back to them in your force because you've just let it get so out of control? Where are you at in your life, in your relationships? Where is that? It's an awkward thing to do, but I challenge you to do it. I know I probably look stupid right now, but because if you'd be willing to look dumb just for a little bit and prune those, make boundaries, and I'm not saying you have to cut them all off. You don't have to cut all your relationships away, but they need pruning. They need attention. They need love and care, just like Jesus loves you. Big picture, it comes from him. He is your map, and then as he leads you through your relationships in life, you know how to act. You know, you treat those trees just like he's treating you and navigating you. So where are you at in your life? Do you even know? Do you even know where you are in the forest? When you open your eyes, do you feel like you're in the south or the north or the east or the west? Are you in a puddle of water? Where are you? Evaluate that. Whether it's your coworkers, whether it's with your family, whether it's with a spouse, that's a very important one. If you don't know where you're at with your spouse, you are in a dangerous place. You are in a dangerous part of the forest. A tree's about to fall over on you. It's going to kill you. It'll ruin things for you because you're so connected. Where are you at in your forest? Find it. And the best way to do it, if you don't know, just look up. Look up to the one who planted it. Look up to the one who created the forest. And that's where you start. You say, Jesus, I don't know where I'm at right now. My relationships are all over the place. I love these people. They're great, you know, people, but it's out of control. I don't know if I have any influence or anything positive to give them or vice versa. Lord, where am I? Help me, Jesus. And I guarantee you, Jesus will begin to shine light on the path that you need to take in your relationship for us. He'll show you where to go. What's the first person to walk up to and say, hey, have I told you that I love you? Have I told you that you're important to me? I'm sorry that I haven't been better in this way. I'm sorry that I haven't lifted you up or ignored that moment when you were suffering. I'm sorry. Ask Jesus, look to the one who created the forest, and he'll begin to show you the way through it. If you don't look to the Creator, the forest will begin to dictate where you live in it, rather than you dictate where you live in the forest. The people that are you see in your life that you look up to, aspire to, that just got it going on, you know, they people listen to them, they have great relationships, they laugh, they have more fun than they do bad times. That's because they're dictating where they go in their forest. They know how to navigate it. They know how to interact with the people in their lives. And they know where to cut back, and they've gotten so good at dealing with the awkward moments, because you can't avoid them. There's no person in a position of power or wealth or anything like that that hasn't gone through a hard, awkward time. I guarantee it. You have to be willing to. And so as a group as well, so that's you individually, but then we got to look at another big picture, and that's our Village Heights Forest, the relationships that we have here. How are we navigating that? Are we connecting with one another? Are we building each other up? See, if we just come here on Sundays and sing a couple songs and listen to me yap for a little while, you know, and make you laugh, whatever, watch me cut my beard, we're not winning anything. This is great stuff, and it feeds us, and it helps direct us. We're acknowledging the one who created the forest, but if we don't interact, if we don't love each other, if we don't connect with one another, lift each other up in those moments and celebrate in those good moments, we might as well not meet at all. We might as well just go get on Facebook and message each other and give our thumbs up and our likes, you know, because that's about as well as it could be. So I challenge you to connect with the people here. And as you do that, we'll become closer knit. And we'll begin to help each other. Because that's what this is all. Church coming together, it's not just so I can feel good about myself. It's so that we have an opportunity to connect, to have community. Because life is better in community. Life is better when you have people there to lift you up. When you've had a bad day, you don't even have to tell them about it. You go be around them and you immediately feel better. Because the relationship is so good. The relationship has been groomed and it's there. So are we doing that as a church? Are we connecting? We have our dinner parties, which have been going great. We do them once a month. I hope that they grow. I hope they expand. I'm okay if those are more well-attended on a Sunday, because that's an opportunity for people that would never darken the door of a church. They would go hang out and have some food, and they begin to learn who we are, and it's been working. That's been happening. It's been an awesome opportunity. So, and the next thing to look at is, as a church, are we reaching out to the edges of our forest, our forest of relationships here? How are we treating this community? How are we interacting with them? Do we at all? These are questions that I have to ask like every week. I got to think about it, because we are a church is not a building. It's not four walls. It's a living, breathing thing. It's a group of people in relationship with one another. And if I'm not directing this group, this living being, to connect with others and continue to grow, then it's going to die. It's not going to be able to feed itself after a while. And so we do things to help make that happen. We create outside events. Mike talked about Easter. Easter is a great opportunity for us to show the community, hey, we're here, and I don't know if you want to be a part of us or be a part of our family, but we'd love for you to be. We're here for you, you know. It's for your benefit, not just, you know, not because we want to have a social event or anything like that. We want to be able to love you and show you the way relationships are supposed to work, the way Jesus has taught us. So we encourage you to be a part of us with Easter. Help. We're going to need a lot of help. Got eggs and things like that. We got to put out there and stuff. And we're looking at maybe a bounce house, things like that. We're going to advertise to the school, tell them it's here. And we're going to take advantage of this opportunity to really show we want to be a part of their lives and create relationship with them. And we all got to remember what our relationship, what we look like to them, is very important. We got to keep the, we don't get wrapped up in politics. We don't, there's certain things that we don't do. We don't, yeah, people have problems. They come in, they want to talk about them, but that's not their identifying. We're not here to expose people and their wrongdoings or things like that, because if we gone around the room and did that, we would get really embarrassed, because there's a lot of things we don't want to expose. You know, a lot of things that we do that we don't want to admit that we do wrong or gossip about or think bad about people or, you know, things like that. So that's not what we're here for. We're here to love them and to create a good relationship with them. So in 2016, I dare you to be intentional in your relationships. Realize who created them and first have a relationship with Jesus. And let that bleed down in all the relationships that you have. And I guarantee you, your life will begin to change. And the people around your lives will begin to change in a very powerful and good way. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to be dismissed. And we love you guys. Lord, I thank you for the relationship that you have with us, God. I thank you that you first loved us. We didn't have to do anything. We didn't have to qualify. We didn't have to achieve something. You first loved us. Thank you so much, Jesus. Lord, Jesus, thank you for coming to this earth and spending time with us and have manifested in a body and be able to show sacrifice and love in a physical way. We are able to remember those things because we wrote it down, and we're able to ponder on it and think about it and mimic after it, God. Lord, and as we apply these things, we begin to see that you are truth, that the things that you taught us and the way that you acted here is truth, because we see the proof is in the pudding. We see that our lives begin to change and our relationships begin to flourish in a great way. Help us, Lord. Help us navigate. Help us begin to see the people that we need to pay a little more attention to, Lord, and the relationships that we need to cut back a little, have more barriers with, because they're damaging us, Lord. And we're not going to be any good if we're just letting relationships damage us. Help us see these things so that we can be more like you, that we can exemplify what your relationship with people are. And so those people that don't know you, don't have a relationship with you yet, they begin to see what Jesus looks like. Begin to see what it's like and feel what it's like to have Jesus in their lives. Help us see that, God. Lord, I pray for protection, because it takes vulnerability. It takes awkwardness, Lord, to be able to do this. And I pray for courage in that. I pray that you give everybody here courage to navigate these relationships, and so they can have a better sense of where they're at in their forest so they can navigate it better. Lord, I pray for Village Heights. Lord, I pray the connections that we make here, the relationships that we build here will be more powerful than ever before. Lord, that when somebody gets down, we're there to pick them up. When somebody needs to celebrate, we're there to celebrate with them. As we live life together, Lord, I thank you so much. And bless our what we do in the community, God. I pray the relationships that we're building with the school, with the people that live around here, other ministries, other people doing good. Lord, I pray that we have opportunities to have connection with them so that we can begin to build, grow our forest of relationships in Village Heights. Lord, we love you. We give you all the praise and all the honor. Amen.